Madame Raboisai, lessons from the lathe. Another live Zoom edition. I'm so excited once again. I can't believe we had people actually come back to this live edition. Lessons from the lathe, making Corona and Sphera count. Every year I have this chus of dedicating this year, and Dafka this week marks the anniversary of my son, Avishai Leib ben Sora Rivka, Avishai Hartstein, who was named for Avishai, Hashem's gift. Hashem gave us the tremendous gift of Avishai. Leib is named after my wife's aunt, Liba, who is a wonderful and amazing person who inspired everyone. And unfortunately, a few months into his birth, he developed what we thought was just a rash about 6 months in, and we thought it was just something very, new food type of thing. And unfortunately, it was misdiagnosed about three times until it became so serious. I actually remember sitting in the yeshiva when a woman called me. I didn't recognize the number, and she said, "Your wife's here at the doctor. I've never seen your wife like this. You don't know who I am. You better get here now." And basically, the doctor said that we need to go to the emergency room immediately. And unfortunately, it was a very long waiting game. And there were three possible diseases that my son could have had, two of which were fatal, Rachmana Litzlan, one of which was quite serious, called Skindus Scaldus Syndrome. I think there's another S there somewhere. And Bechazdei Hashem, it's very important to tell the story, as that we don't bring a Korban Todah anymore. But the Korban Todah, one of the reasons why it was so much food that had to be eaten, is you had to invite friends to tell the story. So it's good to hear stories about Nisim v'Nefloas in our day. And Nisim v'Nefloas were in one of those, emergency rooms at Shaarei Tzedek Hospital, which did an amazing job. And they didn't know what was wrong with him. And typically, being Israeli, they basically said, it's either this disease, that disease. So, well, what if it's the other two? And the doctor said, Tzrichim habet tfilot, meaning there's really nothing that's going to help. And at that moment, I remember calling the yeshiva. Back in the day, the yeshiva's Meir was at 9:30, and it was 9:26. I remember it very well. And I called Raboaz, and I said, "Raboaz, I am begging you after Meir, please say Tehillim for Avishai Leib." And this is not a joke, an exaggeration. At 9:46, I assume around Meir ends, amazingly, a doctor came into the room mistakenly. And as she was leaving, the intern there said, "Wait a minute. You're the head of infectious diseases. Can you look at this child?" She didn't even look at him. She was in the wrong room by mistake. She looked at him, and being a wonderful Israeli doctor, started taking selfies with my six-month-old. And I'm like, "Who the heck are you?" And she said, "I know what this is. I've never seen a case like this in the state of Israel. Skin to skull." And Baruch Hashem, with very heavy doses of antibiotics, he was cured. And it was Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos. We're in the Sunday mode is when he came home. So we give hodah to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and for that, I will drink a l'chaim with you. Those that know me well enough know that this l'chaim is, of course, Coke Zero. So don't get scared, those that are listening. And Amir Tzashem, Hashem should continue being the Soros Torah, just like the Nisim Nefloas that my family saw. We should see Nisim Nefloas with this machla of Corona getting away from us very, very quickly, and all those that are cholim should have a refuah shleim of Besoch Shar Chalei Yisrael. Baruch Ato Adonai L'Hinam Macholom, Sha'akol Niyeh B'dvaro. Wonderful amens. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's get right into it because I got a lot to discuss. And when I do a source sheet, I'm not sure it's positive or negative because the more source sheet I have, the more I do. So everybody just looks on. We'll go slowly, but get into something that I think is going to blow your minds. It's just trying to scare you. Okay, so in this week's parsha, we have, of course, Sfartam Lechem Yimacharas HaShabbos. We have the lesson of Sfiras HaOmer, which hopefully we've all been counting. And what's very sad about Sfiras HaOmer, which I'll get to pretty soon, is that everybody thinks that if you miss a day, they use the word, I'm out, I'm done, and nobody counts anymore after that. And it's very sad, because we'll see why that's sad, because it's so integral to be counting during this time. Rav Osher Weiss has a gorgeous piece in one of his many Sfarim. He actually has a new halachic sefer, which my friend Seth Grossman gave me. He sponsored the sefer, but a little bit of an older one, which is on Drush, the Minchas Usher. I have the schus of hearing Shirim often from Rav Osher Weiss and meeting him in person more than once. And here in the Minchas Usher on the Moadim, he explains, based on the Chedushei Arim and based on Rav Eliyahu Lopian and Lev Eliyahu, that we know, and you'll read this in Pirkei Avos in a few weeks, that there are 48 levels 48 things to accomplish. I'll just read you his Lashon. He says, it's already Mekubal. We know that this has already been written in the Meforshim. Sorry, I'll just go up there. It's already written in the Meforshim that we know the Inyan of there are 49 days, and that equals the Memchet. Shemem Tet Yumei Asfira Mechrim Anuk Memchet Hadvarm Shaton Ignes Mahem. We'll read in Pirkei Avos soon. And then he goes through a whole piece in explaining, wait a minute, that's very cute, but there's 49 days, not 48 days. The one day is to do chazora on all these different things. So we'll get to this idea, what's so important about this. But we see already that the Pasuk tells us, Svartam lechem mi mecharas ha-shabbas, miyom ha-viyosim es ha-oyim ha-tenufa, sheba shabbosos timimot. We know the Torah never adds words. So this word timimot yena is very important. They have to be complete days. Rashi writes, Melamed, what does it teach us? Why does it say timimot yena? It teaches us what? Shematchil amoyna be'erev. That a person should try his best to actually start when? Mamish be'erev. He should do it as quickly as he can. I'm probably the only one on the Zoom now. That's precisely at that moment, right? It is now Ben Hashmashos here in Eretz Yisrael. That's why I won't tell you what the day is. Oh, yesterday was. You know, it's one of these crazy things, you know. And it says Lag BaOmer trick that people pay. Hey, what's tonight? Lag BaOmer. Ah, you can't count anymore. Okay, we'll see why we so machmir on that. So Tamimos says Rashi, that you should maybe even start so that it's Tamim, that it's full, and that's why the famous Magen Avraham that we paskin like, for some unfortunately, is that Shavuos has to start late. We make sure that Shavuos is done, you have to come home, because even though we don't count Sviras Omer, we want to start making Kiddush for sure when it's Vaday Lai, that takes a Kochavim, because it has to be full days, Tamimos, full. What is this completeness that we need that he's trying to explain? It has to be seven complete weeks, says Rashi. Shim lochin ain't tmimus. He quotes the Gemara in Menachos, which we're going to see in just a moment. Famously, there is a machlekes of what is Sviras Omer today. We know it's Zecher LeMikdash. We can't bring the Korban Omer. So machlekes, I'll choose the two most famous ones. The Rambam, who says it's still Midoraisa today, which has many practical ramifications, halacha lemaisa, and the Tosfos, who says, no, it's not. It's Durabanan. And so much so, the Tosfos over here in source number 3 says, in Menachas Sabbath Kvav, Amud Aleph, says it's Zecher LeMikdash. That's the Gemara says Zecher LeMikdash. And he says, and therefore, Nira, the Psach, if it's Suffolk, Chashecha, if it's Ben HaShemashos, so you guys in America have this, and in Canada, sorry, Wise, thing that you like to daven Mincha Mayer. I don't know if you remember when there used to be shul, back in the day when they had shuls, right? So, when you daven Mincha Mayer, what happened? You daven Mincha, right? I think many shuls in America do this, right? And then the rabbi speaks for like 5 minutes, and then you daven Mayer right away. It's a little bit of a problem. Why? Because it's only a few minutes after Shkia. So different shuls do different things when it comes to Sfiras Omer. Says the Tosfos, really, you can count during that time. Ve'en tzorach lahamtin. Why? He goes, Sveka Tavar Rabbanan, look cooler. It's okay. You can count. It's Ben HaShemashos. Right now I'm in Ben HaShemashos in Eretz Yisrael. He says, if I wanted to count, I could count now. It's okay. Why? And he says, maybe it's even better, I wrote. Why is it better? Because then you get that tmimus. You mamish start counting right at the beginning of the day. We actually, most people don't paskin this way. I saw a tshuva from Rav Sternbach. He seems to say that maybe you should do this. You should dafka daven in a Meirav minyan. If you're daven by yourself, for sure I would recommend this. You should daven Meirav at the earliest possible time. Again, depending where you live, what's the earliest possible time? It's not Ben HaShemashos, but whatever that is. In New York, for example, probably at least 30 minutes, probably 35, 40 minutes. For sure you can count Sviras Omer. I think you could be Mako and say 30 minutes for sure. But maybe so you get to Mimos. We don't normally do this, because if you have Meirav in the yeshiva at 9 o'clock, so we want to Barovam Hajos Melech, we want to count together with the Tzibor, that's part of this whole thing. Okay, that's fine. But here's another important part. Says Tosfos, the Od, and he brings the Bahag. The Bahag that says, well, I'm not sure whether or not you should count Ben HaShemashos. The Od Psak HaBahag, Bahalachas Gedolos, She'im Hifsik Yom Echad. What happens, Nebuch Lo Aleinu? You guys are crazy with Corona, you know, and you were running with your flight back. I remember one guy, one of the last days in our, it wasn't even the last day, I think it was a week before everybody was kicked out of yeshiva. All of a sudden, in the middle of Shacharis, I don't know if you remember this, this guy gets a call from his parents, and they say, you have 10 minutes, there's a van coming, pack up all your stuff, you're going back to America. So what happens that in all this fury, he forgets to count Sviras Omer. Says the Bahag, in Hifsik Yom Echad, lo sofer shuv, he's not allowed to count anymore. Ain't no soifer mishum. Why? Because he hath no tamimos. And says Tosfos, this is source number three. Tameh gedolehi. I don't understand. What are you talking about? What's so bad, right? What's the tameh gedolehi? What is it? Who cares? Tosfos totally disagrees. And to be honest with you, almost everybody else disagrees. But the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, all Paskins, we hold this way. That we say that, of course, you have to continue counting. But guess what, Rabbi Yisai? You can't continue counting with a bracha. And what happens to us in our world? If you can't do something with a bracha, we don't do it anymore, right? On Pesach night, we all, I'm sure, got up to wash for karpas. And one of the reasons is, the whole year you should wash for karpas. What's karpas? Whenever you dip something in, maybe even if you dip your Oreo cookies in milk, you might have to wash on that. But certainly fruits, vegetables, right? They're different kulas I'm aware of, but we don't do it. Why don't we do it, probably? Because we don't make a bracha. The Rambam says that before you daven mincha, before you daven mayer, you should wash your hands. But when you say you don't make a bracha, so nobody does it. You have a lot of things like this. So it's very unfortunate because the counting is important, and many do quote this and say it's like almost a nebuch. We think that people don't count. You're supposed to count. If you miss Sviras Oymer, you don't count with a bracha, but you have to say the day. It's very important. There are those that hold you should keep saying the day. The whole day you should keep writing. If you write a letter, the minhag is that you write the day of Sviras Oymer. Rav Soloveitchik wanted to explain this to Hag. Rav Soloveitchik has a wonderful sefer. I give a shout out to one of my talmidim way back when. I was zoicha to go to his chasana. Unfortunately for him, I was one of the Edim under the chuppah, so I don't know if he's married halachically. No, I'm kidding. But he gave me the Sefer, Rav Soloveitchik's Sefer, attributed to Rav Soloveitchik's teaching, Pesach, Sviras HaOmer, and Shavuos. It's an English Sefer, as you'll see. I am only taking a small part of this machlokes in the Bahag, and I'm using it not just halachic, but I want to show you what we're trying to get at here, why Tamimos is so important, not just by Sviras HaOmer, in life, why it's important. Rav Soloveitchik says the following, and this is not exact quotes, I just wrote here, so please, if there's any mistakes, it's my mistakes, not Chas v'Shalom Rav Soloveitchik. And he says like this, the Rav, obviously Rav Soloveitchik, distinguished conceptually between the ritual performance of the mitzvah of Sviras HaOmer and the mathematical reality of maintaining a continuous count. And it's possible to achieve the latter independently of the former. Rav Soloveitchik, in the classic Brisker way, is going to say, there's Svei Dinim, right? There's two things that are going on over here. There are two halachos by counting. You have to maintain the Bahag hold, says Rav Soloveitchik, according to the Rav's analysis of the Bahag, the Bahalachos Gedolos, which was rejected by Tosfos that we just read. One can perform the mitzvah only at night. However, so why do we say in the morning, if you forgot, you can count without a bracha, and then you can count with a bracha the following night? The absence of the performance of a given night can still provide the arithmetic substantium during the day to enable them to continue to perform the mitzvah. What is he trying to say? The following. In order to count Sviras HaOmer, you know what I have to do? I wrote it there. I wrote this myself. I can't say 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8. That's not good enough. But you know what I can say? 1, 2, 3, 4, ... 5, 6, 7, 8. It has to be continuous. According to the Bahag, Chiddush Gadol, how many mitzvahs is it? It's one mitzvah that has 49 parts. According to most of the other Rishonim, it's 49 separate mitzvahs. And many reject, we're choshesh because we're chosafik brachas lahakel. But the Rav is trying to develop a beautiful idea. The respective terms employ the Rav to designate each of the two dimensions of Sviras HaOmer. He says the mice of Svira, the kiyum mitzvahs of Svira. There's a mice of keeping the continuity of Sviras HaOmer. Right? And then, did you do it in the appropriate, proper way? So the person who left at night, he forgot to say it the whole night, and he wakes up the morning and remembers, don't give himself a pat on the back. You didn't do the mitzvah the way it should have been with the bracha. And the Rav then brings nafka minas lahalacha. What this is important for the Bahag's interpretation. It's a famous drasha that every bar mitzvah kid by law has to give. If his bar mitzvah is on Sviras HaOmer, you have to give this drasha by an onen. The whole concept of continuity, tamimas. So now all I did until now is to strengthen what I wanted to discuss today. To strengthen this concept of what tamimas actually means. And here Rav Asher Weiss, in another piece in the same sefer that I quoted, wants to develop that the word tamid, tamimas, is something that is an essential concept in Judaism. And let's discuss it. So Rav Asher Weiss proves, and he has a number of other pieces actually in his Sefer on Chumash, where he says that the Mishkan signified, for example, the menorah, the Mizbeach, and the Shulchan, as I've written here, right, signify something extremely important, right? Look what I wrote over here. So it signifies what? The menorah is Torah, the Mizbeach is Avodah, the Shulchan is Gimelos Chasadim. You need all three. You can't only have Torah. You can't only have Tefillah. You can't only have Gimelos Chasadim. But says Rav Asher Weiss, each of these three were Temidus. They had to be done always. Look at the next source. For example, the Gemara Menachas, Pevav, the Gemara tells over, the imtayma lo'oira anitzarech, halo kol arvim shanachul. We think the Rabbanu Shalom needed us to light the menorah? He needed light? He couldn't see? He needed us to light a menorah? You're crazy? Of course not. First Rashi, v'halois chasaneiros. So what was it? He says, no, it's the same thing. It's for us. Just like the 40 years when we were in the desert, what happened? Hashem illuminated us. It needed to be continuous, continuity. As it says here in the English part of the Gemara. Rather, what? The illumination of the menorah is testimony to all the humanity of Hashem's presence. By showing that it was like a ner tamid, it always was lit. Showed Hashem's presence and that Hashem's always with us. And we see the same thing over here. In the next source, in source number 6, which should not say that, in the next source it says the same thing, the same idea. And what is? The Eish al Mizbeach took up a lo tichbeh, and the fire that was on the altar kept burning forever and ever. Baboker, baboker. And what? Eish tamid. It was tamidus, tukad bo lemizbeach. It was always there. It was a perpetual fire. It went on and on. It never extinguished. One of the great miracles, by the way, of the Mikdash was what? Is that it never, ever extinguished. It was an unbelievable thing. The biggest winds came, rain came. It didn't matter. The Mizbeach's fire never, ever left us. And finally, says, the Torah tells us, again, when it came to the Shulchan, v'nosan al shulchan lechem haponim, which we commemorate lechem haponim, of course, on Shavuos, lifanai tamid. It never left each other, right? It had a great miracle. It was delicious and hot from week to week, and it was only moved out when the other one was moved in. There was never a moment because it had to have tamidus. So ask Rav Asher Weiss, what is tamidus? Why do I need this? What does it have to be constant? What does that mean? Why does Sefirot HaOmer have to be constant? So first of all, he quotes a beautiful Rashi. Rashi over here says that, Vayah'im Shamoa. There's a double lashon over here. Tishmu. You should hear and you should hear. Or the English likes to say, you should hearken unless you will hear. Right? What is this listening? What is this talking about over here? That's what we have to understand. So, comes along Rashi, and Rashi says, Vayam Shamoa, Baisham Tomar, what does it mean? Bachoydish? Im Hetchilu, what does it mean? If you hear again that you will, or what you already learned, you have to study it again. Don't think if you start hearing it avort, in a few moments, I think you actually will hear something which you might have heard before. Right? The word I'm going to end with, you might have heard before. Don't say, oh, here we go. I could leave the Zoom now. I heard this word already. No! Again, because continuity is what's going to get you to remember something. And sometimes you hear something from a Rebbe, you'd be like, oh, my other Rebbe said it differently. Wow, this is amazing. This Torah is amazing. It's another word in the same Pasuk. So says Rav Asher Weiss, that's continuity. Rashi quotes here. The truth is, it's not originated by Rashi. You could see down there, it says, it's quoted in other places as well. Where this idea, the Yerushalmi says, right, in order for it to go on, my Torah learning, I have to have continuity. And that's what the idea I wanted to bring out over here is. So, let's now understand. So, the next part I want to develop is a beautiful idea. Again, Rav Asher Weiss also brings this story. And it's a beautiful Gemara. This is a Gemara Rav Chaim Shmulevitz has. That Rav Chaim Shmulevitz brings the following story, right? Rav Yeruchim Levovitz also has a similar story as well. And he says as follows. The Gemara tells us the story of the great Rabbi Akiva. As I told you, in a week and a half, we'll commemorate the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva on Lag BaOmer, stopping to die. One of his greatest students, after time was over, he was able to, of course, give over to the great students of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, being one of the main ones. But we want to learn what was so unique and special about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's story is a great story for us, And it's a story, of course, we like to tell over to a lot of people, because that story kind of develops us into who we are, because we can do anything. Because as we know, how old was Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old when he became who he was. So it's important. So I'm going to look at the Gemara now. I'm going to share the screen with you so that we can look at the Gemara together as well. And he says as follows. So here's the Gemara. The Gemara in Ksuvas of Dasamik Beis Amud Beis and Sadi Gimel tells the following story. Who is Rabbi Akiva? So he worked in the home of Kalba Tzavua. And he was a nothing. He tells over that he hated Talmidei Chachamim so much that if he could, he would have killed the Talmidei Chachamim. Right? That's the famous idea. Right? That's what we're told. And so he says as follows. So the Gemara says, sorry, I'm just going to share the screen with you. And he says like this. The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva says, he elaborates the following thing. Right? He goes and he learns and they say, well, I can't let my daughter, he wants to marry his daughter. And Kalb Tzavua is so upset. He's a nothing. He's a nobody. This guy's almost like a guy. He says, you got to go learn Torah for 12 years. And he goes and he learns Torah. And Rabbi Akiva is sent and he gives permission for his wife. Says, yes, I want you to become a Talmud Chacham. And he brings the 24,000 students and comes back. And can you imagine this? This nobody nothing now is the head of the largest yeshiva in the world with 24,000 students and nobody can believe it. And he hears his wife whisper the following, as the Gemara says over here. I can't believe what my husband has become. And she says, if it was up to me, he can go learn for another 12 years. Another 12 years. Are you kidding me? So what does he do? He goes and learns for another 12 years. So the Mefarshim ask on this story, in the Gemara, Sadik Beis, Sadik Gimel, how is it possible? He couldn't go in and give his kids a hug. He had kids. Give him a little hug. Give him a little kiss. Give his wife a little love. Thank you so much for being that. And then the story is told at the end of those 24 years, this woman came and borrowed clothes. And they wouldn't let her through. What are you going? It's Rabbi Akiva. And he says, no, that's my wife. And the famous line, Sheli Shelachem, Shelashu, all the zchuyos are for Kazahar, because she let me learn and become who I was. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz here the following, Ilu hayu Rabbi Akiva mafsik talmido. Listen to this, guys. Very important. It's a good question. He has no derech eretz. He can't stop for 2 seconds. V'afalarecha kamocha zekal gadova Torah. We said in our parasha, that was Rabbi Akiva. He couldn't stop for his own wife. So says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Hayo Rabbi Akiva mafsik talmudo lizman muat ilu nichnas lebeiso, and it's derech ha'olam to kiss his kids and spend time with them. He's going to have 12 years. Ve'od 12 years. 12 plus 12. Aval becheshbono shel Torah is not like the cheshbono of the olam. Our mathematics in Judaism are different, he says, because 12 plus 12 doesn't equal 24. What do I mean? Says the great Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, because 24 is what? Continuity. I'm sorry to say this, Rabbi Yisai, but sitting and learning on Zoom is nothing like sitting and learning live with your Rebbe. Sitting and learning with your phone open is nothing like learning without your phone. That's continuity. It's a real Torah. And that's much different. And says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, that's why Rabbi Akiva didn't stop, because he knew that's what his wife wanted. That's what made him Talmud Chacham, that extra learning. I heard a great Rav once say, Rav Ephraim Wachter, he said, I can't prove this from any Mefarshim, although I found some sources for what he said. But he said, an hour of learning with your phone put away somewhere is probably like 2-3 hours with your phone next to you. Right? Because every time it buzzes, it's got to be something about, it's got to be that WhatsApp group. Oh, this is going to be the most important text ever. I got to stop now. I got to see what's going on T-Neck Shuls. It's very important. You know, come on. And this last part, you probably heard before. And if you haven't, oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm a chadish something to you. It's usually the last year that I give before the guys go home. And it goes like this. The Nesivos Olam, the Maharal, Mi Prague, quotes a amazing mimer, Rabbi Yisai. If you never heard this mimer before, it's Isaiah worth it just to be here for this. And it's one of my favorites. It's based on what's written in the, and Yaakov writes is based on a Midrash. It's not a Gemara. And it says like this, Ben Zoma Omer, what is the Pasuk HaKolel? What is the one Pasuk? If I was to ask you, you know, I put a gun to your head late at night and I said, What's the one pasuk that defines us as Jewish people? What's the pasuk HaKolelis? Ben Zoma says, you know what the pasuk is? Shema Yisrael. I get it. We spoke about Avishai, my other son who was born here in Eretz Yisrael. His name is Yonatan Roe. Roe is named for Roe Klein. Right? Jumped on the grenade and said, Shema Yisrael, like you never heard of Shema Yisrael before. I would get that. People dial Kiddush Hashem, say Shema Yisrael. I saw one of the many interviews during Yom HaShoah with a woman who said she was there, Nebuch. She was born in Auschwitz. Born in Auschwitz. She said as she got older, she said, I can't get out of my mind Shema Yisrael. She says, when I go to shul, I can't hear them scream Shema Yisrael. It kills me because they were in the gas chamber screaming it. Ben Nana says, no. Ben Nana's Omer, you know what the pasuk HaKoles, number one pasuk is? V'haft l'recha kamalicha. The six parashas, Zekal Gadova Torah, make a song out of it. Then along comes Shimon ben Pazi, and I want to give him the booby prize because this guy's really not right what he wrote. You know what the pasuk HaKoles Torah from all them? Hakeres Achatas Heben Aboker. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. That the number one pasuk is, and the korbanos that we bring every day. And says in the Sivos Olam, he goes through the whole thing. This is actually the Maharal brings this medrash and goes through. Why is this pasuk? But nobody, the Keves Achad, nobody's talking about. Shema Yisrael, I understand, versus Vaf L'Recha Kamocha. And they're fighting it out until we get to the bottom. And he says, but you know what? You know what? The end of, sorry, I should read you the end. So who won, it says? The pasuk HaKolelis is what Ben Pazi says. What? To bring a korban every day? So he ends off by saying, "Umasha Omer ben Pazi is a kevaz echad taseh ben avoker who kolo gadol b'toyra." Why? Ratzel Omaru she adam oyver Hashem yismarch b'temidus. Every day you bring the korban, even though sometimes you wake up in the morning and say, "I'm not feeling it, Rebbe. I didn't come to Minyan this morning because I wasn't feeling it. I didn't learn today because you know what today is? It's Sunday. Sunday is Jesus' day. It's not a day to learn Torah." I'm not learning today. Why should I learn today? To me, this is, I wake up every morning, and even if I have a headache, I don't feel it, I'm still davening. And even if I'm stuck in Coronaville, Nebuch Lo Aleinu, and nobody's even going to watch me, and nobody will know what time I wake up, I'm still going to daven in a minyan that I used to daven. I'm still going to get up for 8 o'clock minyan. And I'm still going to have my makom kavua, and I'll make myself a little shtender. I'm still going to daven the same way I used to daven. Because Tamidus. Because one day they're going to let us back into the shul, Baruch Hashem. That's the important. Because he writes Tamidus in front of the Rebbeinu Sholom. Shachris ve'erev. Bringing the korban. That's what life is all about. Not the blips on the screen. My Rebbe Rav Aaron Soloveitchik would say, I mentioned this in the lessons from the lave. I do a small lessons for the lave. Every day. Jonathan, maybe you could send it to everyone so they could those that want to join. It's very important. A few minutes a day just to get a little inspiration. And says there was Lori Platnick. She was one of the people who lit the one of the great flames of Yom Ha'atzmaut. I go on her trip every year. Momentum, it's called. I'm one of the people who, one of the trip directors. And I said to her, wow, what an amazing thing for class. She said, no, it's a Kiddush Hashem. Hashtag, she wrote me, Kiddush Hashem. That's what life is about, she said to me. And I said, yeah, you know why? Because it's living a life al Kiddush Hashem, and it's Tamidus. My Rebbe Rav Aaron Soloveitchik would be fond of saying that the Rambam writes many times about living a life al Kiddush Hashem. He talks about V'chai Bahem, Shalom Musbahem, and he has one halacha about dying al Kiddush Hashem. Shema Yisrael is a one-time thing. A kumzitz is a one-time thing. A nice experience is a one-time thing. But the day in and day out, you're going to tell your children, you know, I remember Corona season. But I davened, I woke up every morning and I davened. I didn't have a minyan, I davened every morning. And you know, every Shabbos I read the parsha. And I got dressed in Shabbos clothes. Because this count is different than all others. Because when I come back to shul, when they let me back in, oh, is it going to be different? My davening is going to be different. And this was written so beautifully by Rav Yehuda Amital, the Rosh Yeshiva of Gush, the founder with Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. He writes an article to Tunu LaTorah, it should be LaTorah Netzach. This week's is Netzach. Nitzchius, ever and ever. So he says, how is it possible? The Maharal, of course, his famous idea, because he says that's the Klal Gadol Batorah. Even in the most difficult times, he writes, Al Achas Kama V'Kama B'Yom Emelu. He wrote this article when there were suicide bombings happening day in and day out in Eretz Yisrael. He says, Dafka, in this time, we have to be regular. We don't wake up in the morning and say, where's Hashem? Where is he during this time? I don't see Hashem. There's this Nebuch. People dying. Jewish people are dying. No, it's dafka that time that I increase my tefillos, he says. And he says, exactly during this time, the Musar Gadol is Hecham Anal Tamidim Kimisparam. I'm doing what I did, I'm doing it even better. That's the focus, that's the idea, Rabbi Isai. That's what we have to be working on. Unfortunately, we don't think about it this way. We think we have a past now. I don't have to daven in a minyan, I don't have to do it. So now I could be a little bit lax. My davening now is only 14 minutes. No, this is the time to be a Tamidistic Jew. It's a time to say that this is the difficult time. I want to make this counting work. I don't know how many more days it's going to be. I don't know when it's going to be back to normal. But it shouldn't be back to normal. Because this should be to me this. I did everything the way I was supposed to. I increased my... Yes. So when I get back, it's back to normal, but not back to normal at all. And that's the schus that we should amir tzashem be zeichet to. That great schus of things not going back to normal. Of my spirit of omer meaning something. So when I accept the Torah anew on Shavuos, it's going to be so different. That's the idea that we have to focus on, Rabbi Yisrael. With that, Amir Sashem, it'll give us just Zechuyos She'en Kamohu. That's what Hashem's looking for. That's the test of this time.